The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
Amen. This morning, I ask you to open your Bibles. We always begin by saying, open your Bibles. Amen. To Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to use just one verse of scripture. Verse 21. I saw that finger up there, Vi. I haven't seen that since I left the old church. People walk out and come in and hold up that one finger. I never understood what that meant. Even though I did it, I didn't know what it was. Oh, is that what it means? Is that what that means? Oh, I don't know. Maybe saying be quiet or something. I just know we did it. I never understood what it means, but I know we did it. Amen. Romans. Oh, God help us. Amen. Everybody put up one finger. All right, so if that means excuse me, then excuse me. All right. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they knew God. If you know God, say amen. Amen. But they did not glorify him as God. Why? Because they're glorifying something or someone other than God. Nor were they thankful. But they became futile in their thoughts. The King James Version says they became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish hearts were darkened. And I want to use for a subject, I won't get through it all today, but I'll get started on today. I want to just use as a subject the question, who are you? Who are you? Do you know yourself? Do you know who you are? I am not asking about your ethnicity or your nationality or the roots of your ancestry or even your marital status. Who are you? Do you know who you are? People that don't know their true self, they tend to put on a performance for others to get their approval and their acceptance. Can you say amen? Amen? Paul called this performance futile thoughts. And in the King James Version of the Bible, it's called vain imaginations. You are who God says you are. Let me say it again. You are who God says you are. And going back to our sister's presentation, if you believe you are who God says you are, why would you ever self-sabotage? Why would you ever sabotage yourself if you really believe you are who God says you are? You see, nothing has happened to your true essence. Nothing's happened to your true worth of value that you are in Christ. Nothing can change that. Nor did anything change as to who you are, whose you are, what you have in Christ Jesus. Amen? But when we start experiencing something else, we give ourselves over to belief in appearances. And how you want to appear to others, it leads to a performance. Have you ever said good morning to somebody, how are you? And then they kicked into their performance mode. And you're saying to yourself, will the real you show up? Will the real you speak up? The real you is the person you saw in the mirror. It's not the person that you think, I want you to be. So the question is, who are you? You know God. You say you glorify God. You say you're thankful. And if so, why are you giving yourselves over to futile thoughts, vain imaginations? Why aren't you walking in who you are? But when you start experiencing something other than the presence of God, God's perfect everything, then you've given yourselves over to a belief in appearances. And your belief is how you want to appear to others. And beloved, as I said, it leads to performances. What is a performer? Unfortunately, we have a lot of performers in the church. I'm not just talking about singers and musicians, even preachers. We have a lot of performers in the church. But what is a performer? A performer is one who carries out a certain pattern of behavior for a public presentation. It's become a pattern of behavior. Can't nobody even have a normal conversation with you because you're going to put on a performance. What's wrong with being honest? Honest about how you feel. What's wrong about being honest about how your day may be going thus far? But Pastor Jerry, I don't want to give a negative confession. A true confession has, a faith confession, I should say, has no weight unless it's preceded by a true confession. Otherwise, you are lying. If you know that you're broke down, you're busted, you're disgusted, and you feel like pulling your hair out at every which end, and I ask you, how are you? Oh, I'm just so blessed beyond measure. I got the power of God working in my life. You are lying. You don't know who you are. You first should have said, I am facing a challenge. I'm going through a few things. But I thank God that I'm blessed beyond measure. Victory is mine in Jesus' name. You cannot have a faith confession without first making a true confession. Huh? You're just carrying out a pattern of behavior for your public presentation. You're putting on a performance. Paul called that performance futile thoughts, vain imaginations. Let me tell you something about performers. I know a thing or two about performers. I've seen some of the greatest acts perform. You know, as the Lord was dealing with this mess, I began to count on my fingers all the great acts, world-renowned acts I've saw perform in person. And I ran out of fingers. And many of them, they're died and gone on. May they rest in the presence of God. But I know a thing or two about performers. Performers wear masks and they wear costumes. Did you hear what I said? That's what performers do. They wear masks. They wear a costume. When you're in the presence of a performer, you're only seeing that person's mask. You're seeing their costume. You're seeing them put their best foot forward. But you don't see how that person really is behind closed doors. They got to put on the mask. They got to put on the costume. And we do that so many times. We do it to the point where we start to believe it. We start to be deceived. We start to be led astray. You know, it's one thing for somebody to deceive you, but it's even worse when you deceive yourself. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." Come on. "And it's wickedly desperate." Who can know it? Who can really know it? That's how wicked the heart is. The heart tells you you need to be somebody else. You don't need to be who God made you today. Be somebody else. And you're being deceived. You're being led astray. The heart is deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? How can I ever know what's really in your heart when half the time you're putting on a performance? How could you really know what's in my heart if I'm putting on a performance? But performers wear masks. They wear costumes. For example, one of the masks or some of the masks and costumes that performers wear is a title. Title. Have you ever encountered somebody and they introduced themselves to you and they didn't say, "I'm John Doe or Jane Doe"? They say, "I'm Doctor." See, they're wearing a mask. They got it all twisted. Your title is not who you are. Come on. Your title, perhaps, should be something you've earned. But so many now don't even earn them. They buy them on the internet. Then they want everybody in the church to call them doctor. Your school ain't no more accredited. Come on. Than the Mickey Mouse Club. But you want everybody to call you doctor. Who are you? You're not your title. My wife and I, we were introduced one time to a prophet. And he introduced himself as Prophet So-and-so. My wife said, "Is Prophet your first name?" What are the masks? What are the costume? It could be a job, a high-profile job. Your high profile job is not you, but it's how you earn your livelihood. It could be some significant position in the church. Your position is not you. Your position is how you serve the Lord in the church. Is that right? And other people, they wear their costumes, designer clothes. Huh? Designer clothes and luxury cars. You can wear your designer clothes, but what's on the inside of those clothes? Is it just a little lost boy or girl, little lost man or woman? Or is it somebody who know who they are? And if you knew who you were, you wouldn't have to hide behind designer brands. Telling everybody, "This is Armani. This is Gucci." Huh? Armani and Gucci ain't even thinking about you. They on some beach in some tropical island sipping their high ties, getting rich off of people that don't even know who they are. Who are you? Some folk are name droppers. That's the mask and the costume they wear. "Well, I know so-and-so. And I know this so-and-so. Because they think if they know somebody who I think may be somebody, then that makes them somebody. Either you're somebody or you're not. A minister colleague and myself, we traveled to a city one time. And we visit a good friend of mine who was a pastor of a local church. And he had a guest speaker in town, a nationally known minister. So he said, well, he's at the Sheraton Hotel, and he's invited me to stop by this afternoon. And I asked him if it's okay if I brought you guys by. He said, fine. So we got on the elevator. We go up to this nationally known minister's his room. And he was just so kind, so sweet to us, just so engaging. And my friend that was with me, my traveling colleague who was with me, he began to go in the mode about who he knew. Do you know this one? Do you know that one? Do you know that? I know him. It was so embarrassing. The guest speaker looked around and said, here's what the guest minister did. He got so mad and said, no, I don't know him, but I know Jesus. It was so embarrassing. When we got back home, when we got back to our hometown, I made it a point to call my minister friend, my colleague that was name dropping. I said, can I meet you for dinner? It's on me. I looked him in the eye and told him like a man. I said, that was totally unnecessary, totally inappropriate. Dropping names like that. Do you know who you are? Who are you? God wants us to take off the mask. He wants to strip us of the costumes. We need to know who we are. Consider this story. I've told it before, but consider this story of a woman in a coma, and she was dying. And while she was in this coma, she felt like she had died and gone to heaven. And she stood before the judgment seat of God. And she heard a voice that said, who are you? And she replied, I am the mayor's wife. And the voice responded, I didn't ask you whose wife you are. Who are you? Then she replied, well, I am the mother of four children. The voice responded, I didn't ask you whose mother you are. Who are you? Well, I'm a school teacher. The voice responded, I didn't ask you about your profession. I asked you, who are you? And no matter what answer she would give in response to the voice, it was unsatisfactory. So it went on and on and on. Then the voice asked her again, who are you? She said, I am a Christian. The voice replied, I didn't ask you about your religion. Who are you? Well, I'm the one who went to church every Sunday and I always help to feed the poor and the needy. And the voice responded to her, I didn't ask you where you went or what you did, but who are you? As the story goes, the woman failed the examination. But the good news is she recovered from her illness, came out of her coma, but she was determined that she was going to find out who she was. You're more than a wife. You're more than a parent. You're more than whatever your profession is. You're even more than a Christian. And guess what? Jesus never called himself a Christian. So who are you? You're more than that person that attends church, that feeds the poor and the needy, that helps out here and there. You're more than that. And we have to find out who we are. Who are we? It is always, listen to me very carefully. It is, well, let me say it this way, it's usually in the area of identity that futile thoughts and vain imaginations are first revealed. It's the identity that we want to portray. We think the essence of our existence is tied to what we do and what we have, or perhaps what we don't do and what we don't have. And then we begin to define ourselves by that criteria. And in doing so, we become performers because we don't know who we are. Now, I believe what God is saying to us, and I'll continue with this next week, God wants us to exit the stage of performance. I've been to some great performances. Oh, yeah. I've been some gospel, R&B, Andre Crouch. I remember when I went to his, the late Andre Crouch, I went to his concert, Shirley Caesar. I've been at her concert. She came to our church and gave a concert. I've been to the concert when the Temptations were playing. The Spinners, the OJs, War, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. James Brown. Al Green. I've been to all these different, the Jackson 5. I've been to all these different performances. But all these performers had one thing in common. And what was that one thing in common they all had? They exit the stage. They all went off the stage when they stopped performing. That's what God wants every one of us to do. He wants us to exit the stage. How do you exit the stage during a performance? Turn to Matthew chapter 13. How do you exit the stage? Matthew chapter 13. Let's read about the parable of the hidden treasure. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. What is God saying to us? Here's how you exit the stage. You go and you sell everything you have to buy that field, to buy that true treasure. When Israel came out of Egypt, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, what did God say to them? God said to the Israelites, after he delivered them out of bondage, he said, if you obey my voice, keep my covenant, then you shall be a treasure to me above all people, for the earth is mine. We are treasures. Every one of us are treasures. We are treasures that are treasured by God. And what we need to do is exit the stage, and the way we exit the stage is to sell everything that we have and buy that true treasure that God has put in us. And that's the real you. So in closing, if you're going to change, you got to surrender something. You got to sacrifice something. That's what this parable is telling us. You got to surrender and sacrifice those futile thoughts and those vain imaginations and make up your mind, I'm going to just be who God made me to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul told the Corinthians, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's right here. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. I want people to see the excellency of the power, the personality that God has given, the ability that God has given me, the character that God has given me. I want the excellency of the power to be of God and not me. So I found this hidden treasure. And it's what God created me to be. And so I'm going, with joy, I'm going to go and sell everything I have so I can buy this field with this treasure. And it's only when you become bankrupt with regard to those futile thoughts, those vain imaginations, that the truth will make you free. When you don't know who you are, you are living a lie, not the truth. And God just wants us to be who He made us to be. You don't have to like me. You just got a problem with God. It's the excellency of His power working in me. And it's of God and not of myself. And so if you have a problem with me, if I'm having a bad day, and I tell you, you have a bad day, and you say, well, that preacher's supposed to be full of faith and power, but he doesn't sound like he has power. But I thank God. I thank God. He's the source of my power. I thank God. He's given me power. Glory to God. So my confession of faith will always follow my true confession of my reality. And if you can't be real about your circumstances, how can you ever be real about God? You're just putting on a play. You're a play actor.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.